as I wait, heart of God.
Where we believe that spiritual growth happens better in circles than it does in rows. My name is David Haken, and I'm joined by Jonathan Markham, the pastor of New Life Christian Fellowship here in Pacifica, California, and we record these podcasts, even when we've lost our voice, to help you go deeper with Sunday's teaching, both in your small group and in your individual walk with the Lord. We are nearing the end of our series on the disciples. There are 12 disciples. We are featuring 6 of them in this series, and we are on number 5. Peter. Peter the Impulsive. An apt title for him, an apt description, certainly. did you find yourself digging into some of the material that you prepared for the sermon series on 1 Peter, and then also on the Some Doubted series a few months after that?
Actually, David, no, I don't normally do that.
Look at it fresh every time.
I normally come at these things fresh every time, because I just, that's just the way I do it. Because I'm normally trying to say different things.
Right.
I'm looking at Peter as a whole, you know, at the way in which he interacted with Jesus.
Instead of just that one episode, which highlights his doubt.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more habit than anything else. I just don't normally look up my old sermons.
I guess
I ask myself, why do I keep them? I mean,
I guess my process is like extensive study first and research, compilation of data, throw data all in a dump, and then sort through the dump. So I guess it would almost be as if I would be starting over fresh just by looking at all the old data that I had accumulated.
Because I don't necessarily do that in terms of, I do collect all the data, but I don't have it. I don't have a sort of, in a sense, here's the core dump of all the data. And then I create out of that. I just tend to go through all the material I have, making notes that engage the subject very specifically, because I'm looking at Peter as Jesus trained him, as Jesus changed him.
That's great. Well, in the life of Peter, we see many highs and lows, high moments and low moments, and that's what our first question is both titled and focuses on. It goes like this: set the groundwork for your discussion by recalling together as many highs and lows from Peter's life as you can remember. What are Peter's highs? When he did what no other disciple was brave enough to do. What about his lows? When he stuck his foot in his mouth so deep he could tickle his lungs. Identify one high and one low from your life, which has informed your Christian walk up to this day.
That's a great question, because it enables us to see how our lives are so similar. I mean, I think there are lots of people identify with Peter.
They certainly know him better than any other character.
Right. I mean, it's remarkable, really, and I think I've been more conscious of this than ever before, that Peter really is the only disciple that appears extensively in the Gospels and in the New Testament, of course, and in Acts.
No one else comes even close at all. I mean, the next person has maybe 3 stories that he's in.
Right.
And even there, he's not like the main focus of the story.
No, Peter, and many of them, Peter is the main character in the story.
Oh, yeah.
He seems in the book of Acts to be joined at the hip to John, but most of the time
he's the speaker. Yeah.
He's the speaker.
The miracle worker. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to feature much of the book of Acts in this sermon, or are you focusing
not
mainly
this one,
him
no.
on Jesus?
Mainly him and Jesus in this.
Highs and lows. By the way, we like to start our staff meetings with going through the highs and lows from the week. It's a good time to get to know each other.
Yeah, it's and I think that the remarkable thing is that there are so many of them in Peter's life. And when you think about it, it's true of our lives that there are so many of these. We get mountaintop experiences, and then we mess up. But the life of Peter is so encouraging, is because when you do emerge into the Book of Acts, Peter is just this powerful, courageous, committed communicator of the gospel.
Yeah, it's interesting to like look at the Peter of the Gospels and then the Peter of Acts, and like you can see a lot of like the same personality traits, but it's like I even address this in a question to come, but he's spirit empowered and he is just set on a course for building the church. Our next question is called Lows Meet the High Priest. Peter's most painful.
I love these things, David. I was basically just inviting
you to pat me on the back with that one.
Yeah, I just wonder how many of the people who listen to the podcast actually get these wonderful nuances that you put in there.
Shall I explain it for them? All right, lows meet the high priest. Peter's most painful low, certainly, came when he denied his Lord the night before Jesus' death. It could have been all over for Peter at that point. He could have turned away and never came back. That was what Satan wanted to happen. What was the one thing standing in Satan's way? Can you think of moments in your life when Jesus, your great high priest, prayed that your faith may not fail? Words taken out of Luke 22, a prayer that Jesus prayed for Peter, that his faith may not fail, going into his denial.
When the scripture tells us that our high priest intercedes for us, I just wonder what Peter thought when Jesus said, the evil one wants to sift you like wheat, Peter.
Yeah.
But I've prayed for you.
And of course, at this point, Peter is as confident as he can possibly be.
Yeah.
I'll never deny you. He says right after that, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death.
Yeah.
Which is odd because he thought that Jesus would never experience either of those things.
Or he demanded that Jesus didn't. This is never going to happen to you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Our third question gets to Peter's recommissioning and his restitution after he denies Jesus. It's called Recommissioned to a Cruciform Ministry. Even before Peter fell, Jesus recommissioned him. When you have turned again, he says in Luke 22, strengthen the brothers. What metaphor did Jesus use when he recommissioned Peter a second time, now after his resurrection? Beautiful as this is, Jesus' next words are more difficult. How does the letter of 1 Peter demonstrate that Peter had taken these words of Jesus to heart? How is Jesus glorified when people suffer when they carry their cross? We're thinking now about the time after Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? Peter says, of course I do. And then Jesus says, feed my sheep. And after he repeats that three times, he pretty much says that you're going to suffer the same kind of death that I did.
Yeah. And he says, when you were a child,
hard to parse those lines a little.
I wonder what Peter thought Jesus was talking about at that time, other than John tells us, I think it is, who says he said this to indicate the death with which he would die, but you don't necessarily know that Peter understood that at the time.
It seems because he asked about the other disciple, John,
that
he knew that there was some kind of prophecy given about himself.
Right.
Maybe that it wasn't a positive one. Anyways.
That's the point at which, in a sense, I really like the fact that, Jesus, when Peter initially says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Jesus says, you know, you had to have had that revealed to you, Peter, and you're going to be, this is the rock on which I'm going to build my church. And it would have been so easy for Peter to, I mean, Peter, just before this happens, he tells him he's going fishing. I mean, he's fishing when Jesus appears on the beach. He packed it in. I'm going back to being a fisherman. Regardless of all of that, Jesus says, no, look, I've got this plan for you. And it hasn't changed. I know you've messed up. I know you've done all these things, but I've got, my plan for you hasn't changed. You're going to be the rock on which I build my church. Mm-hmm. In many ways, I think that's so encouraging, is the fact that God has a unique plan for your life and my life. And however
he's
hard...
He's not going to let us derail that plan.
Right. He's not going to let us derail the plan. Now, obviously, Peter could have said, no, I'm going fishing. And I imagine God would have had to have found a different way of doing it. But he didn't disqualify Peter from the calling he placed on his life, which I think is encouraging.
Maybe we should mention briefly what we mean by this cruciform ministry. Mm-hmm. So it's a kind of ministry and calling in which we imitate the sufferings of our Lord. Mm-hmm. We're called to carry our cross, of course. And Jesus can be glorified when his saints suffer because of doing what is right and good. And that point is made abundantly clear over and over again in the epistle of 1 Peter.
Yeah.
And we give you a few references to that extent. Our last question has as its title a favorite phrase around here at New Life. It's called, Come As You Are. As we turn the page from the Gospels into the book of Acts, we meet a new Peter. He is a changed man, still bold, outspoken, and courageous, but now empowered by the Holy Spirit, all his energies are constructively channeled toward the building of Christ's church. Breeze over a few highlights of Peter's ministry in these years and reflect on the whole arc of the life of this apostle. Where might you attempt to exhibit Peter's boldness? What fears do you need to turn away from so that you can turn your eyes toward Jesus?
Yeah, it's interesting that Peter, Peter is completely fearless in Acts. And he has no compunction about telling the Jews, you know, you crucified Jesus. You
some
crucified the
sermons,
Messiah.
Yeah.
And whether he gets thrown into jail or not, mm-hmm. He has been transformed into somebody who thought for acts first and thinks later, and into somebody who is captivated by the gospel.
And clearly, that 40-day lesson about the kingdom Jesus gave him after his resurrection and before his ascension paid off, because he has some unique insights in his sermons, mm-hmm. Especially in chapters 2 and 3 of Acts, which are, really, really powerful.
And it's interesting because next week we're going to look at John. Mm. And John and Peter, there are, I can't remember exactly how many, but I think it's 14 or 15 examples in the first few chapters of Acts where Peter and John.
So I'm sure you're going to emphasize the fact that John is the beloved disciple that's going to come in a big way in the sermon. Are you going to spend more time in Acts with John than you have with the other apostles?
Maybe. I'm not finished with it yet. But if John my focus in John is something which we do see in Peter, is the change in Peter.
Okay, from Gospels to Acts.
The transformation that came about in Peter's life because of Jesus. But I think the transformation is even more obvious in John, where he becomes, we know him as the disciple of love, but right at the beginning, he wasn't a particularly loving person.
Oh, okay, so you're playing off of Boanerges to...
Yeah,
it
just gives me
John,
it just gives me the opportunity to It just gives me the opportunity to talk about Boanerges.
Right, again. Yeah, you're looking for another excuse.
It's an excuse to talk about Boanerges. Nice. Yeah.
Well, I'll have to say God bless you when you say that.
Okay.
So next week. All right, we will see you guys then. Thank you.
As I wait, heart of God.